We go Aaron Rodgers free on today's Friday Locked On Packers. Damian Parson from Locked On NFL Draft joins me to talk about wide receivers as Jackson Smith-Njigba has his pro day at Ohio State. We've got a lot to talk about with the tight ends, the pass rushers, Packers types, all sorts of fun stuff coming up on today's show.
You are Locked On Packers.
I feel like we can run the table.
Your daily Green Bay Packers podcast.
Rodgers gets out.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Floats it.
Your team.
Cobb.
Every day.
Touchdown.
You're Locked On Packers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I'm Peter Bukowski, and I cover the Packers for The Leap, a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe to. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast on the internet. And the show for fans who know what happened, they want to know why and how. As I mentioned at the top, Damian Parson on the show from Locked On NFL Draft. And the reason I wanted to have him in is there are a lot of fun receivers to talk about in this class. I think the Packers are going to draft one of them. There are a lot of fun tight ends in this class. I think the Packers are going to draft one of them. There are some fun pass rushers in this draft. I think the Packers are going to draft one of them. So it seemed like the perfect time when we're still waiting on what's going on with you-know-who to go to you-know-where, and we don't even have to get into it. This episode of Locked On Packers is brought to you by the all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya. The Nissan Ariya, the EV for people who love to drive. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Just a little quick news item before we get to Damian. The Packers re-signed Justin Holland, who is, I think, a really nice depth piece. They're going to bring back essentially their entire edge package from last year: Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary, Kingsley, JJ Adingbare, and Justin Holland. That's a really nice group. I think they need to diversify that group a little bit. It would be nice to get a little twitch off the edge, a little juice. Someone like Nolan Smith, potentially. There are some guys in this draft who fit that profile. And look, Will McDonald, the Iowa State edge rusher, who is that sort of twitchy, bendy kind of pass rusher, was in Green Bay yesterday for a visit. And I do just want to flag that as we move forward here. The Packers, with not only their combine visits, but their pre-draft official visits, Ted Thompson used those mostly as an extension of the UDFA period. It was, okay, we're not going to draft you, but we might want to sign you. So let's meet, let's talk, let's figure it out. And there might have even been some shenanigan negotiations and like, hey, we'd love to have you, you know, late if you don't get picked. You know, we think you're great. If we pick you, great. But if we don't get a chance to, we'd love that. Like, that was sort of what was going on. That's not what the Packers are doing right now with Brian Gutekunst. They're bringing in guys at positions where they think they want to make a splash. So they've done work on all the tight ends. They're going to take a tight end early. They've done work on some of the top receivers. I think they are certainly open to taking a receiver early. Top 100 seems pretty likely. I don't think they have to go day one. Guys like Xavier Hutchinson, Cedric Tillman, from Tennessee, Xavier Hutchinson from Iowa State. They're players who fit the kinds of body types and productivity and all those things that the Packers have traditionally liked. So they could make a lot of sense there. Just keep your eye on this. And we'll be following it here on Locked On Packers for sure, just to make sure that we have all the latest here to look at the positions that they are most closely checking in on. We will get to all of that over the next couple of weeks as that stuff happens. Before we get to Damian, today's episode brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. The Built March Madness bracket is here. We know you have a favorite bar or puff, and now's your time to make it count. Go to BuiltMarchMadness.com to vote for your favorites. You know I'll be voting for the coconut puff. And if you want the Packers to win, if you want your bar to win, then you'll be voting for that team too. Support your team, just like you do the Packers. Support your bar or puff. And when you vote for your favorite bar or puff, you'll be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built. Pretty good prize. Not only that, but one Locked On fan will win a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door. You got to try Built. the best protein bar ever. And they're amazing because they deliver on all the macros that you want. High in protein, low in sugar, low in net carbs, covered in 100% real chocolate. Taste delicious. Run to BuiltMarchMadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff and pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March. So hop in and support your pick. Joining me now, the other half of Locked On NFL Draft. We had Keith Sanchez on during the combine. Now it's Damian Parson. He joins me now with pro days in full effect. We're starting to get official visits. The Packers, Darnell Washington in Green Bay, Will McDonald IV in Green Bay. Some interesting names to track there. Damian, I want to start here with the Ohio State pro day. How much do you care what Jackson Smith Njigba ran?
Since it's the only time where we have for him, you know, since he couldn't run at the combine, I care a little bit, right? Like, you know, Keith and I discussed this on the recent recording that we for tomorrow, actually. It was we don't overvalue the 4.48 time, you know, Keith being, you know, LSU champion, he kind of talked about like, all right, you know, some of the times are a little different, you know. He's like, hey, it could be 4.48, but it's probably, you know, 10th of a second faster, so it's probably 4.53. And I was like, even if it's that, it's still good, because the consensus thought about his speed was like, oh, he's a 4.6 guy, 4.7. People, you know, really felt like he wasn't he didn't have good speed at all. And so this whole time I was around the lines of he's a 4.5 to 4.55 guy. And when I saw 4.48 on the chart that someone screenshot and it started surfacing on social media, I was like, okay, I didn't see that. I didn't expect that. But I think if that's the official time, I think it's a great time for him. You know, I think it quiets some noise that he's only a slot receiver.
Yeah. And, you know, there are other reasons to think he's only a slot receiver, right? Really, really short arms is another reason. So can he get off press? But my thing is like, watch the feet. You can get off press with your hands or you can get off press with your feet. And I think he is someone that can get off press with his feet if he needs to. He's just someone that I don't think his fit in the top half of the draft is for everyone. I do think it is for Green Bay with Christian Watson and the way that he can vertically threaten you. And then you have someone to work the underneath, the middle of the field. I've been saying they need a receiver who can get them a bucket. And I think he is that guy. Are there other receivers, as we've now gone through the process, that you think could be that kind of bucket getting receiver?
I would say there's a couple guys that can get you a bucket. And one of my favorite receivers in this class, and he's probably a slot only guy, but it's Josh Downs out of North Carolina. You know, and when you say it's funny you use the term bucket getter, because I remember just watching this tape, and the thing that I wrote down was like, he plays basketball on grass, you know, grass, turf, wherever field you put him on. He has the innate ability to press up into the airspace of DBs and make them uncomfortable, because he gets on their toes and he does it at his own pace, that when they want to shoot their punch and get their hands on, then he breaks left, right, or gets vertical. And now you're in the trail position where DPs hate to be, you know, especially in man-to-man coverage. I love his route running. And then for a 5'10 receiver, he plays big at the catch point. You know what I mean? Like you rarely see guys that are so comfortable going up and going and attacking the ball at the highest point. And he does a great job of that. They throw slot fades to him in the red zone, things like that. I also think Zay Flowers out of Boston College is another guy.
I was just going to say, there's two small guys who are my ball mentality type players.
Yes. And Zay, for those who don't know about his background, he's the fourth youngest of, I believe it was like 14 to 15 children. So like his first time of putting like full pads on was when he was 4 years old with his older siblings. So like he has that tough, physical dog type of mentality, because when you're the youngest, of course, you're one of the youngest, you get picked on typically the most. You know, I'm the oldest of three boys, so I did the picking on. So, you know, I know, you know, kind
you
of
gotta fight that for means. That food at the dinner table, though.
Exactly. So I think with Zay, man, he plays with that toughness, and you know, he contact balance, run after catch. And I think me and Keith were talking about him, and I said the name that came to mind, not as like a one-for-one comp, but just how you can use him, was think back to Percy Harvin and how the Vikings in Seattle used him, you know, when he was healthy. You can do those things with Zay Flowers, but he can also play as a traditional receiver. You may not put him out as your X, of course, but you can move him into bunch sets as your Z, put him in the slot. He can run good routes, and he's dynamic after the catch.
You know who I wrote down in my notes as my comp for Zay Flowers? Skinny Randall Cobb.
I like that. I think
there's a lot of similarities there. Yes. Sort of like if Randall Cobb were drafted today, right? Because we use these guys differently. It's amazing how the jet and all of this stuff has changed. UC player, Jalin Hyatt was the Tennessee Vols number one receiver, played mostly in the slot. Justin Jefferson got the most targets in that LSU offense, played mostly from the slot. We're seeing that more and more. And I wonder if that's going to become that it won't be a knock on these guys anymore. I wonder how that changes the way that we view these players coming out. A team like the Packers might not change. They like big, tall, strong, fast, but maybe it will.
I hope so, Pete, man, because it has such a negative connotation on it when you said, oh, well, he's going to be a slot only guy. And then fans are.
You almost didn't want to say that. You almost didn't want to. Well, he's a slot only guy. Like, you felt like, okay, I'm dogging him, but it's not. It's not really a criticism.
It's not, especially because teams are in. What, 11 personnel most of the time in the games anyway?
80% of snaps.
80% of snaps. So it's like, it's the same thing with corner. Like, oh, yes, you want two outside corners that can have height and length and speed, but you need nickels too. You need nickels and dimes. You need these guys because when teams come out in 10 and 11, you need to have these bodies and these capable figures to cover them. So having a Josh Downs, a Zay Flowers, and I'm going to tell you, man, I love Tank Dell. I don't care that he's 5'8". I love Tank Dell out of Houston. I love him a lot. You know, when I say his bag, he has a complete bag as a route running a receiver. The ability to press up on guys, the quick twitch, the change of direction, the ability to stop on a dime, and then the speed. Like, I know the NFL say he ran a 4.49. That's the fastest 4.49 I've seen. I've never seen a faster 4.49 in my life. But like, just
did you see someone did a side by side that it really should have been a 4.39?
Bro, I've watched this tape and I'm like, this is not a 4.49 kid, man. But like, you know, he has that size and he may just be a slot only guy, but he has the movement skills and everything. And then he's reminds me a lot of what we saw with Devonta Smith, being a skinny, slimmer receiver. And there's reps of him like high pointing over bigger corners. You know what I mean? Boxing them out and just going up and getting it. And just having that, like, legitimately, that dog, that get ball, it's mine mentality. He's just 5'8", 166 or 165, whatever he is. So you got to be, you know, you got to use him the way that suits him. But yeah, the slot only term, it's gotta change, Pete. It's gotta change. People have to embrace it. It's still a good thing because you're going to be on the football field 80% of the snaps.
Yeah. Tank Dell, not going to be a Packer. I can just tell you that right now.
No, I don't think so.
And that's okay. That's okay. He could be a really good player for someone else. I thought Tutu Atwell, too small. And guess what? In the second half of last year, he did a lot of really nice things for the Rams because that speed plays. So I think the Packers are going to try and find a guy like that in the draft, a receiver in the draft. I have heard that they really do like Jalin Hyatt, although he's a little more slender for them. Christian Watson and Jalin Hyatt on the field, like, you better have two good safeties because they're going to run past your corners a lot. But I've also said that if you need a bucket getter, it might not have to be a receiver because this tight end class is really, really good. And there might be, there might be eight guys who go in the top 100, maybe more. How do you stack this tight end class and where do you see them coming off the board? Just to give my listeners a feel of where they might be able to get some of these guys.
Man, I mean, the big four, which is what, Kincaid, Mayer, Darnell Washington out of Georgia, and Luke Musgrave out of Oregon State. Those are the big four guys, right? And right now for me, my tight end one, as I tweeted out before we did this recording, my tight end one is Dalton Kincaid. I absolutely love his game. He's the best pass catcher or best receiver at the tight end position, in my opinion, out of this group. You know, route running, hands, Keith throughout the comp that I stole of Zach Ertz. You know, he's like, he reminds me a lot of Zach Ertz. I'm like, man, I love that. That was very, very on par, which I think he's better after the catch than Zach Ertz was, even in his prime.
I agree.
You know, so like, you know, that's kind of where I think we're going to get three guys. I think we potentially can get three guys in the first round. But I think that middle of the first through the second, I think there's going to be a nice little run on tight ends. And those top four are going to come off the board.
All right, we'll get back to Damian in just a second. But before we do, today's episode brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. The tournament is heating up, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. I had Kansas State on the money line last night. Never a doubt. Okay, I had a lot of doubts late in that game. In overtime, they go down early. But we cashed it. We cashed it. That's all that matters. We cashed it. There's no pictures on your bet slip, just like there's no pictures on your scorecard in golf, because new customers get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your bet doesn't win. Even more, no pictures on your scorecard. If they just are like, no, you can have your money back. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for an even bigger payout with the same game parlay. Don't miss your chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. And thanks for making Locked On Packers your first listen every day. Now go make your second listen, Locked On NFL Scouting with the Draft Dudes. From free agency to the draft, salary cap management, and more, join NFL experts Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino as they take you through what it's like to build a successful NFL franchise every Monday through Friday. Find Locked On NFL Scouting with the Draft Dudes wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. For you, I have Sam Laporta ahead of Luke Musgrave. For you, what separates Musgrave? Because he's one of those guys, like when you look at the numbers, and I know that we don't just scout the box score, but I mean, what does he have, 40 career catches in college because he was hurt this past season? Now you look at the first two games that he played, I think he had 15 targets in two games. So he was going to ball out this past season, but that's still a big question mark. Like, how do you balance that when you have someone like Sam Laporta, who in an offense where they could not throw the ball on you and me, Sam Laporta produced at a high level? How do you try and figure out like what matters there?
Man, it's tough because like you said with Luke, not a lot of production, you know, the injuries this year, then, you know, being down, you know, on the field at the Senior Bowl and watching him up close. Like, I think I looked at someone, I was like, man, he looks like Drago from Rocky. Like, I was like, I did not know that was him. I was just walking by, you see a 6'6", long arm, really buff, 255-pound kid.
Oh, he at is central end. Casting.
And it's like, okay. And then you see him in at the Senior Bowl, he played well, you know, as a receiver, but it's mostly projection for him because his exposure is not a lot of experience for him, right? Where you look at a Sam Laporta, like he play blocks, he detaches from the line, he moves like a receiver at times. It's really crazy. Iowa does one good thing very well.
They offensive make tight ends, line, man.
And tight ends, man. It's like they have a whole lineage of this. And I love Sam Laporta. And I think that's one of those guys that, for me personally, I think third round is where you're going to, like, we see this run of the big four come off the board. I think Sam Laporta is going to be, like, the fifth tight end that, like, teams are like, okay, well, Darnell's gone, Luke, all those, that's cool. I rated at the right time, and I can grab a Sam Laporta because I truly believe he has a high ceiling to be kind of a point. If an offense wanted to run the offense through him, he's got the type of skill set and athletic profile and physical makeup that he can really flourish in that role. I love Sam Laporta.
I think he's got some Mark Andrews in his game. I really do. I don't know how many guys in this class, it might just be Dalton Kincaid at the top at least, who could run. He ran a whip route from the slot on third down. I can't remember who it is against. And I just went, wait, I'm sorry. This guy's 6'4", 255, running option routes from the slot. Like, what is this? It's really crazy. I love this group of tight ends. Even a guy like Davis Allen from Clemson, like that. Mm-hmm. The Wake Forest, both Wake Forest tapes each year, he made some plays where you just were like, how many other guys in this class make that contested high point catch in the red zone?
In the red zone, yep. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right. If you watched him, you're like, oh, because you wrote that in your notes. Like, okay, yeah. I see you.
That Wake Forest game, he was like DJU's favorite target in the red zone. Like, legitimately.
And that's like, this happens all the time, right? With receivers and pass catchers, when you watch them, you realize the quarterback play in college football is mostly not very good.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, I spent a lot of time watching these tight ends going, I wish this guy had a quarterback. because I'm just like, like the same thing at Iowa in stretches. And so I'm just like, oh man. Let's flip to the defensive side of the ball here. Although I think the Packers draft is going to be heavy on offense. They're doing some work on edge rushers. Lucas Van Ness has been a name commonly paired with them at the top of the first round. I think this class is, the strength of it is probably on day two. There's a slew of guys who I think have a chance to go on day two who are just like monster athletes. So I said this yesterday on Twitter. The Packers need a guy who, like Preston Smith, big, strong, physical player. Rashawn Gary, when he gets back, big, strong, physical player. Kingsley Enagbare, big, strong, physical player. They need some twitch in this room. This might be the draft to get them some twitch. If they are looking first round, second round, third round, wherever, to get someone who can give them some of that little, that just a little different type. Give me some names.
Eric Hall from Auburn. You know, six three, six four, 255, ran a 4.55 at the combine, explosive, physical. And I think he would ingratiate himself well. I remember talking to one of his former D-line coach, and he said he takes setting the edge versus the run personal. He's like, that's a first priority for him. He's like, he doesn't like to get blocked by tight ends, and he does not like to get pushed off the ball. And you see that. Like, he has, like, I think 33, almost 34-inch arms or something like that. Like, the arm length is crazy, but you also see that convert in his play style. The speed of power conversion off the edge. The long arm is really good. But what I loved about him is, you know, listening to him at the combine, at his podium, he talked about the fact that he's self-aware. He's like, I know that I have to see some, the area I'm working on is adding more to my pass rush repertoire. He said, right now, my go-to move has worked a lot throughout my career. He said, and when it doesn't work, I know that I have gotten stuck on blocks. So I've been working on adding more counters to combat that issue. I love that.
Isn't that exactly what you want to hear from a guy like that?
You love that's exactly what you want. I remember at the Senior Bowl, him and Byron Young, who's another guy they're built very similar to, from Tennessee. After practice, they stayed after and they were working with each other on hand counters because their games are so very similar. You know, rocked up, powerful rushers that are explosive athletes. I think Isaiah Foskey is another guy that who had a high.
Future Packer, Isaiah Foskey, 100%.
He was one of those guys, Pete, that like in the summer, everybody was like, first round. And then as the season went on, it was like, oh, man. And it's like, okay, second round is probably where he's going to end up landing. But like another guy, long arm, power, convert speed to power well. And he's versatile. He can drop off in coverage if you need him to. Think about fire zone blitzes and all that stuff. Because they played him like, as an edge rusher, stack backer. Notre Dame did some very different things with this young man.
And then he tested off the charts.
Yes. So, like, I love him. I'm going to tell you one of my favorite guys in this class, truthfully, is Nolan Smith from Georgia. Like,
Green Bay 15 could be in play.
So, like, and he popped on tape for me last year when I was watching Jordan Davis and Devonta Wyatt and Trayvon Walker, where I think it was, like, the Michigan game in the playoffs. They were pulling a guard to him, and he just like stonewalls him. And I'm like, okay, how big is this guy? He's 235. Like, and he just like stuffs that shoulder right in the chest of the guard, and just like stonewalls him. And you just see him the length, the explosiveness, the bend. His ceiling is so high because one thing I've realized with Georgia, they don't really teach these young men how to rush the passer with high technique. It's just like, go be an athlete. We scheme some things, cross dog blitzes, all of that stuff, and we get you home, right? But like in the NFL, you got to know how to get there by yourself. And I think this is a young man, especially with his work ethic and his character. His talent is one thing, but with that two compounded on top of it, I think he's going to be one of those guys that's an 8 to 10 sack a year guy as a stand-up outside linebacker. And he would fit. I would love him in Green Bay. I'll absolutely love him with Preston and Rashawn Gary.
This is the case too. If you're a little underwhelmed with what Devonta Wyatt did as a rookie, like there's room there. And I think Quay Walker even, and Joe Barry experimented this a little bit. I thought it was really fun. There were times when they ran these three off-ball linebackers, three stack linebacker sets with Quay on the edge. And like, I think that's something he can do at 6'4", 245 with arms like a pterodactyl. Like that's how you want to use guys like that. I can't let you go mm-hmm. without getting you on the record, because it's Jordan Love season in Green Bay.
Okay.
I need to know what the pre-draft evaluation was of Jordan Love, because we talked about this a little bit, and I know that you like the tools there.
I did. I was high on Jordan Love. I looked at this young man, arm talent, mobility. He can make every throw in the book. It was just, oh, he played at a really small school that did not have a lot of help. And, you know, when he played Power Five conferences, that teams were clearly better than his team. It's like, oh, he didn't play great. Well, that kind of was what happens when you're throwing to lawyers and they have five-star first round picks. You know what I mean? This is a little different, man. So
by the way, this happened to Josh Allen too. There was it the Iowa game where he just was absolutely terrible.
Yes.
And it was like, okay, but he made a couple of plays in that game that made you go, whoa. And like the highlight of Jordan Love's college career, the throw is the one against LSU, rolling to his mm-hmm. right, throwing to the running back on the seam ball. And you're just like, what is that? Like, yes. That is not a play. There aren't, you know, there aren't 10 quarterbacks in the NFL who could make a throw like that. Unfortunately, the running back dropped it. But I had multiple coaches
clearly
bring that up to me in talking to Jordan Love. They were like, that throw, everyone was just like, yeah, he makes those throws.
It's the unteachables, you know, and he has those things. So it's like, okay. And a lot of my scouting buddies in the league said, man, we look at a guy like that has those unteachable things, Pete. And what they do is they do their report. They take it to the head coach and be like, all right, this is your baby. Like, you take care of this, because if you develop it, you're going to be really happy with what you get, because he has everything that you can't teach. The things you would want a Tua Tagovailoa to be able to do, Jordan Love can. Now, what you want to do is get Jordan Love into that comfort standpoint where he's seeing the field quickly, he's making his good reads, he's making good decisions, and you embrace him. But like, all the tools are there. Like the plays to make the ability to make plays off script with his legs, if things break down, he can do that for you. He's not gonna be a statue in the pocket. I'm excited for this. I'm so excited to see him with Christian Watson, whoever they draft to add to that receiver room. You know what I mean? And hopefully they get a tight end talent for him as well. And with that run game with AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones and the offensive line, I think this could be a very surprising season for people who didn't know how talented he is. I think this could be a really good season for Jordan Love.
For those not watching, I have a big smile on my face listening to Damian talk about Jordan Love. Damian, this was so great. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Let's definitely try and get you back after the draft. We can talk about some of these guys more in depth. Because I can't watch 300 guys. That's your job. So we will talk later on. Thanks, Damian.
Yes, sir.
All right. Back next week. I hope we just have like a regular Monday where we can talk about stuff and we can talk about it. We can have a mock draft Monday. I keep going, I don't know. Like, how am I going to put together a mock draft? The reason we haven't had a mock draft Monday over the last couple of weeks is it felt so silly to put together a mock draft and then to have a potential Aaron Rodgers trade ruin the mock draft, because we don't know what pieces are going to be in the trade. So let's try and have a normal mock draft Monday on Monday, and whatever news we can pick up on the way. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers. And anytime you want to come hang out with us live, like when Aaron Rodgers is finally mercifully traded to the New York Jets, you can do that on our Locked On Packers YouTube page, so you can stay Locked On Packers.